Thank you, team. What an awesome day to be in the house of God. Who's glad you're here today? Yeah, praise God. Thank you. So I love that song. God, man, he is so good, isn't he? God is good to us in every way possible. He gives us all we need for life and godliness. And he's given us you. He's given us the church. So glad that you're here this morning. All right, we're heading into our very last message of the series. I forgot to say welcome to those of us, to those of you who are online. Welcome to my wife and her sister Joanne. I'm going to cry because she's not with me. But anyway, welcome. Whatever way that we can connect with God, connect to the church is good. Amen? So we're heading in, like I said, to the last. I want to put a cap on this series called Holy Spirit Revealed. I think it's a powerful, very important subject. So let's pray and let's ask God to open up our ears to hear. I want to challenge you this morning. This is going to be a challenge that's going to go out to you. And I believe we need to respond with it, but you need to hear it clearly, okay? Are you ready for that? Let's pray first. Father, thank you for your word. Today I pray that your word would come alive, that it go deep into our heart, it would penetrate our soul and our spirit, bring life to us in every way, and would challenge us to be the people that we were created to be, a disciple after Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here, Holy Spirit. Speak your word through me. Reveal yourself through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about Holy Spirit revealed, but specifically being prompted by the Holy Spirit. I say, you know, when Holy Spirit begins to move in our lives, amazing things can happen. Things can happen like never before. And the early church learned all about this. They were aware of Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit. They learned how to move in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the fruit of the Spirit. They were literally a phenomenal people because they depended upon Holy Spirit's power. Luke chapter 24, 39. Here's the scenario. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's ready to go with his Father. He's been, you know, he's gone to the cross. He's died. He's resurrected into power. He spends 40 days teaching the disciples. And this is the last thing he says to them. One of the last things he says to them, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. See, like those early disciples, just like them, God does not want us to do anything without first receiving his power, right? Because he enables us to do things that we cannot do on our own without God's enablement. The Holy Spirit provides each of us with power and anointing in our lives. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." What's the next word in that scripture? What is it? Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. If Jesus needed the anointing, do you need the anointing? Of course we do. I say there are two things we need to realize about our lives as born-again believers. First of all, we are to be born again by his Spirit, right? We're to be born of the Spirit. But we are also to be filled with his Spirit. So, when you are born again, you have Holy Spirit inside of you. And once you invite Holy Spirit, he begins a revolution inside. He begins to change you. He begins to transform you, right? He begins to recreate you in the likeness of his Son. That's happening, right? So, that's so important. But listen, there's more that God wants to do in your life. He wants to give you his power. He wants to fill you with his power to the point that you literally overflow with His power and have power like you've never experienced before. And I say, not only just to change yourself, but so that you can minister to other people, people that God loves. And to operate and to live as a believer in such a way that, you know, you've never experienced God using you in that dimension. John chapter 7, verse 38 talks about the dimension. From moving, I talked about wells, right? Last week, you know, we're well Christians, we're born again, we get salvation. But there's more than just salvation. Something that we just, going back to the well, God wants something to come flow out of us to His well. Because we're saved. His power, His presence. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. John 7, 38. Believe in me, so that rivers of living water will burst out from with you. Burst out, flowing from your innermost being. Just like the scripture says, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. I believe that Jesus meant this for every single born-again believer. Amen? Listen to Paul's prayer when he prayed for the Corinthian church. He said, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you be with you all. It's a Greek word, koinonia. Fellowship is a word that means there's a special bond, closeness, relationship in this that we're having. The same kind, this is the kind of relationship that Jesus had with His disciples. You know, Jesus was so close to His disciples. He walked with them, He talked with them. I mean, they ate together, they loved to live together. The same type of relationship or fellowship they had with Jesus is the same kind or type of fellowship that we're to have with the Holy Spirit. Right? See, that's what the type of relationship that Jesus had with His disciples. They were so connected. And because they were connected, their lives had purpose, their lives had power, and their life had significance. All about relationship, isn't it? Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to have personal relationship with us. In the same way that the disciples walked and talked with Jesus is the same way that we, you and I, were to walk and talk with the Holy Spirit. But we have a problem. I mean, Jesus, for the disciples, see, it was easy for the disciples because Jesus was a real person at that time. But the Holy Spirit is invisible. So maybe we can have a problem with that. You know, it could be more difficult. Even Jesus said in John chapter 4, 20, 24, He said to the disciples, God is spirit. God is spirit. So in other words, he's saying you can't see Him with your physical eyes. You can't hear Him with your physical ears. But listen, you can sense Him. You can hear Him from within your own spirit. Amen? And that you, his quiet inner voice is speaking to you and He's nudging you all the time. Do you realize that He's trying to talk to you all the time? Whenever you have to make a decision, whenever you're going through troubles, you know, whenever your worry comes, He's trying to speak to you. No matter what area of your life, Holy Spirit is trying to talk to you. We have problems because He's invisible. You know, so, I said, so much of our world is invisible, isn't it? It's non-physical. Think about it. Think about your invisible world that you're functioning in. Think about the internet. How many are using the internet, right? How many have wireless in your home, right? How many of you have, how about radio waves? All these, they're invisible. They exist, right? They're real. They exist. And we're using them all the time. And they're such a big part of our world now, aren't they? They're just a click away. See, we need to be more aware of the invisible. The invisible. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus came, He came with a big announcement. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is coming. What is He talking about? The kingdom of heaven is an invisible realm, and it's invading our physical world. And we have the privilege of living in both realms successfully. We can live in both realms successfully if we live by the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I say, no, these two worlds are not separate. They overlap. They're connected together. And we can live lives of freedom in both those realms if we're being filled with the Holy Spirit's power, with God's Holy Spirit. On your PowerPoint, God provided everything we need to live in both realms, to live our lives in both realms. Holy Spirit is in the world today, and He's looking for opportunities, looking for opportunities, looking for people that He can use, that he can help to advance God's purpose, God's plan in this world, and He's going to use you and I through our everyday life. Amen? See, I think one of the reasons that we flounder around in life is because we're not listening. We're not aware, and we're not tuned in to what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us. And the Bible tells us that He's given us inbuilt receptors. You know, just like a radio, you know, a radio can receive waves because it has the apparatus necessary to receive those waves. Right? Right? Your computer is designed that way. Well, we're designed that way to receive reception signals from the Holy Spirit, communication from the Holy Spirit. In fact, John said three times in Revelation, it was Jesus who said in Revelation chapter 2, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. He's given us eyes to hear, to see. He's given us ears to hear. So today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, about being prompted, being led, or nudged by the Holy Spirit. Here's a question. Have you ever been nudged by anyone? Does anybody ever poke you, shoulder you? Why did they do that? Because they were trying to get your attention. Right. Well, guess what? Holy Spirit is constantly trying to nudge us, prompt us to get our attention. Because God wants to do something. There's something that God wants to do through our lives. You know, I believe He's doing that every day because people are in difficult situations. There are situations arising in people's lives that need God's intervention, that need God's help. And God will use His people, you and I, right? He will use you and I to help these people. You know, one of the greatest events that happened in history that still affect us today is what happened on the dawn of Sunday morning, December the 7th, 1941, in Honolulu, Hawaii, at a place called Pearl Harbor. The Japanese, all those Japanese conquerors, right? Like, what do you expect? Anyway, the Japanese, I mean, they didn't do good here, but the Japanese, what did they do? They bombed the U.S. Pacific Fleet, the largest collection of the U.S. fleet. It was literally the backbone of America's Navy force. And it was dubbed as the tragedy that could have been avoided. A radar operator early in the morning saw this unusually large blip on his radar screen. And something was approaching the island. And it was 132 miles away. Now, you know what he thought it was? He thought it was, oh, it's just a bunch of U.S. bombers that are supposed to come sometime this week. And so what did he tell his friend, his helper? He says, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Instead, that blip on that screen was the very first wave, the first of three waves. And that first wave contained 180 Japanese fighter planes, bombers of all sorts. And they were coming. They were coming to destroy that island and that Navy force. By 2 hours later, by 10 a.m., they see 21 fighting ships and vessels lay sunk, damaged. Smoke from burning planes and hangars filled the sky. The oil from those sinking ships literally clogged the harbor. And they said that literally death was everywhere. The U.S. fleet suffered their worst loss in all of history, wartime history. And that loss consisted of 2,388 men, women, and children who were killed in that attack. The tragedy that could have been avoided. Now, radar was invented in 1935 by a Scottish physicist. And it was the invention that literally saved Great Britain in the Second World War. Radar was their early warning monitoring system. I'm going to tell you now that God has a monitoring system. And it's called, he's called Holy Spirit, right? And there are, you know, and the enemy today is coming to attack, to destroy people's lives. And God wants his people to rise up and do something about it. Holy Spirit is trying to nudge people to intervene and to care. You know, if you look and see what's happening in our world today, we realize the enemy is coming and he's wreaking havoc. He's destroying people's lives in an unprecedented way, right in the time when they're living well. We're living right now. And he's doing it through broken marriages, through sicknesses, through depression, through thoughts of suicide, through isolation. You know, and through COVID. COVID is a big thing. And the devil is using COVID to destroy people's lives, and that destruction comes through fear and isolation, and I say through lies and deceptions, you know, and we need to be aware that we are in a spiritual warfare and that we can do something to stem the tide. Amen? God is constantly sending out signals to you and I to do something. But you know what the problem is sometimes with our radar? Our radar screens are turned off, or we're ignoring the signals, or we're focusing on something else. You know, we're just tuned to the wrong station. But listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 2 verse 7. He said, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Are you part of the church? Do you have ears to hear? Yes, he's given us ears to hear. See, we all, every single one of us, we all have the ability to hear from God. But listen, we've got to be focusing. We've got to be listening to what God is saying to us, right, to hear. So, I want to give you a scenario. Here's a scenario. Paint you a scenario here. There's a lady. And she's living in our neighborhood, in this town, in our community. And her life is hell. She's going through the most difficult time she's ever experienced in her life. Her marriage is falling apart. Her financial situation is desperate. She's having trouble with her kids. There's sickness in her home. And she's decided to commit suicide. So she goes to the grocery store. She's going to visit the pharmacy there. And she's going to pick up a whole bunch of pills and take them all at once and end her life. So she's in the store. But God the Father sees her. And God the Father says, "Is there anyone who can help this woman? Is there anyone?" And the Holy Spirit, who's everywhere, says, "Yeah, there's a lady. She's in aisle 5. You know, she's a born-again Christian." And the Father says, "Quick, nudge her. Speak to her to talk to this lady." But this lady's receiver is turned off, and she's not listening. So God says, "Hey, but there's a guy, he's driving to work. He's going to be driving by to work. Now get him to stop to buy some groceries so he can talk to this lady." But the guy's thoughts, all he's thinking about is work. And he's thinking about the problems he's having at home with his kids. And so he just drives by, and he's not focused to hear. I want to tell you, there are hundreds of opportunities almost every day where people are crying out, people needing help, who are being missed every day. And it's not that God doesn't care. But the biggest problem is that people are unaware. And yeah, sometimes they just don't even care. See, we got to realize this. We have to realize this. Point number one, you and I, we are partners with Holy Spirit. And we're not doing this on our own. That's why God puts us into his family. It's called the church. See, you've got to be a part of the church. If you're going to fulfill the call and destiny in your life, you got to be a part of the church. If you're not a part of the church, you will miss God's destiny for your life. God is calling us. He's calling the church to respond. And we can do something about this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers out into his harvest field. Then Jesus said, John chapter 4, 35, he said, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. What is he talking about? White means ready now, ready now. That means there are people all around us, in the malls, in the streets, in your neighborhood, at school, who are ready now to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and go to heaven. Amen? People are ready right now. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? White fields means the kernel in the head is ready to drop from the stalk to the ground and to be lost. Soon, the harvest stage is going to be over. And the Lord of the harvest, who is the Lord of the harvest? Holy Spirit. The Lord of the harvest is speaking to his laborers. You know what he's saying to us? Move out! Move out! Act now! Because people are ready now to receive. Amen? And they need help now. You know, some people, maybe all they need is something so simple. Maybe just a word of encouragement. Just a smile. Just a greeting. Or just a friendly word. Or maybe it's you give them something. I don't know what it could be, something so simple. Just an act of kindness. But we've got to be open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's so subtle. And sometimes it's just a thought. You just put a thought into your mind. But you've got to be ready. For some people, they may be in a life or death situation. I want to share with you an experience I probably shared with you before, but it was about my neighbor Ken. I mean, we lived in a great neighborhood, and we had these, when we moved in there, there was an incredible couple. They were retired and just a real nice couple. And we started connecting them with over a period of time, and we'd invite, we sort of try to help them. I mean, they were seniors. I'd cut their lawn for them, but we were building up a relationship with them. And I know that Ken had shared that he was struggling with cancer. I think he had prostate cancer. Then he started having struggles with his kidneys as well. And I just remember the Lord telling me, give him a copy of the book called Heaven is for Real. Has anybody read that book, Heaven is for Real? Yeah, it's an awesome book. You should read it. I felt the Lord saying, just give them a copy. Give them a copy for Christmas. So we give them a copy for Christmas. And shortly after that, we saw an ambulance pull up in the driveway. And they took Ken away. And his kidneys were shutting down. He was all in all kinds of problems. And so I went to see him that next day in the hospital. That's when we could go see people in the hospital. And I sat beside him on his bed and said, Ken, you believe in God? You believe in Jesus? You believe in heaven? He said, yeah, of course I do. I read the book. And he loved the book. I said, Ken, if you died, do you know that you'd go to heaven for sure? I said, do you know for sure? He said, no, I'm not sure. I said, would you like to know for sure? He said, yes, I would like to know for sure. So I led him through the sinner's prayer. And right there, he received Christ into his heart. You know, a month and a half later, he passed away. And at his request, I preached the gospel to his family at that funeral. You know, I think about that situation. And I think about who was God going to use to lead him to Jesus? Who was God going to use? If I wasn't there, if Karen and I weren't there, we didn't care, who was going to lead him to Jesus? What would have happened to his soul? What would have happened to his wife's soul? Where would he be today? Can we put a value on that? I don't think so. I mean, we can't. The price of a human soul is beyond what anything could purchase. Only the blood of Jesus. He paid for that soul. Who was going to lead him to Jesus? Think about it. So how important are the nudges of the Holy Spirit? How important are they? People, there are people around us everywhere and they need to be reached for Jesus. Right? I said, every time the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something and I did it, wow, something incredible happened. Every time I ignored it, I knew I blew it. And because I missed an opportunity, I knew that God wanted to do something, but I didn't respond. See, he wants to lead us, he wants to guide us. I said, Holy Spirit wants to empower us. Number two, we will be rewarded for the things we did here on earth. Jesus said, Matthew 16:27, I, the Son of Man, will one day return with my messengers and in the splendor and majesty of my Father. And then I will reward each person according to what they have done. Zig Ziglar is a well-known Christian communicator, author, leader, and I think he's still around yet, but he has this thing called the four quadrants of life. Four quadrants of life are the four different ways, modes that we can live. The first quadrant is called survival. You know, I think we've all been in that mode where everything's survival. Our marriage, you know, we're surviving in our marriage, we're surviving in our finances, and we're doing everything to build those things up, you know, and all we can think about is ourselves, right? We're in a survival mode. But then we move to the next mode. We keep pressing in, and we move to this mode, this next stage called stability. You know, and whew, that's a good stage because, you know, good things are starting to happen. Like you're finally getting your bills paid off. Your marriage is starting to getting better. You're putting effort into it. Your finances, you know, everything's becoming more stable. You know, life is stabilizing. And that's a good place. But listen, we want more. And everybody wants some sort of success, right? So we move into this area of success. You know, I want to tell you this, that God wants us to be successful, right? You know, I know when I was a Christian growing up, and I wanted to be successful in my job, I had somebody come to me, a Christian, say, oh, well, you're not supposed to put all your focus on being successful. Christians should not be successful. What? Christians should be successful. God wants us to be successful, doesn't he? Successful in your marriage. That'd be good, right? Successful in your child raising. Successful in your career. Successful in your business. God's will is that we be successful. Amen? Amen. But listen, you just can't stay there and be fulfilled. There's only one quadrant in life that will really be fulfilling, and that's that last one. It's the most exciting place called significance. Significance. First three quadrants are very self-oriented. They're all about you. But listen, significance is never just about you, right? So, you know, as Ziglar says, the greatest struggle is to move from that quadrant of success into that quadrant where we are significant. You know why? Because it requires us taking our eyes off of self, being less about self, and to be more focused on other people. Amen? And when you start focusing on other people, that's when you find the greatest joy and the greatest fulfillment in life. Amen? You guys don't seem to be excited. I've got to hear more amens. Amen? Okay. Number three. We'll talk about living. Learning to live an exciting life. Guided, nudged by Holy Spirit. I want to give you an example. Like, I ask you to read the book of Acts. So everybody read the book of Acts, right? Or if you were this, right? Or most everybody read the book of Acts, right? So when I tell you this story, this has gone so familiar, right? Okay, we're talking about this guy named Philip in the Bible. Philip, that's Acts chapter 8. Now, Philip he's not an apostle, he's a deacon. He serves people. He waits on tables, he distributes food. Acts chapter 8:26 talks about Philip. It says, later God's angel spoke to Philip. At noon today, I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. So here the angel just tells him two things, specific time, a specific place, right? Now, he doesn't give him a lot of other information. Doesn't tell him who this guy is. The profile of this guy, that this guy is actually in charge of the wealth of the queen of Ethiopia. That she's, he doesn't tell him. Doesn't tell him that this guy is riding in this caravan, this chariot entourage. He doesn't tell him that this guy is going to be reading about the book of Isaiah. Doesn't tell him that this guy is going to get born again. and that he's going to get water baptized by Philip. Doesn't say anything about that. All Philip knows is that the angel told him, go at this time, go here. So here's the problem for us today. Here the problem is this. Today, we won't go. Today, we won't go. Will we? Until, you know why most of us won't go? Most of us won't go until we have it all figured out. Like, what, God? You want me to do that? That's him. See, what happens? This thing called mind kicks in, right? Reasoning kicks in. Reasoning is never the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you're trying to reason it out, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's you. Reasoning is the voice of your mind, of your soul, right? Reasoning, I say, it's good. God gives us a mind, an ability to try to figure stuff out so that we can manage our life better, right? And it helps to keep us on track. But listen, I said you can't live the Christian life by reasoning alone. You can't do that. So many things I say that God asks us to do, you cannot reason out. I'm going to give you a couple of examples in the Bible. How about Abraham? Abraham is called the father of our faith. He's like our model, right? He's the prototype of a true believer in Christ. He's a New Testament believer living in Old Testament times. He's a man who lives by faith, right? So God speaks to him, sends angels, and says, Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland. Just go, sell everything, take your family, go to this place far away. It's called Canaan, and just go. Well, Abraham couldn't reason that out, right? And he told me, hey, you're going to have kids. You're not just not going to be a father. You're going to be a father of many children. And how old is Abraham when he has this child? 100 years old. Sarah's 90, right? But he's, you can't reason that out, can you? Think about Mary. She's 16 years old. Angel of the Lord comes to Mary and said, Mary, God's chosen you. The favor of God's all over you. You're going to become pregnant, but not by any man, but by the Holy Spirit. Try to reason that out. Try to figure that out. So many things that God has to do cannot be reasoned out. But listen, but we can know by the Spirit. We can know by the Spirit what we're supposed to do. Because Holy Spirit wants to lead us, He wants to guide us, and He wants to empower us. Verse 27. Philip, he got up and he went. He met an Ethiopian eunuch coming down the road. The eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning to Ethiopia, where he was minister in charge of all the finances of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was riding in a chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, and I want you to notice, it says the Spirit told him, it was not an angel. The Spirit said, climb into the chariot. Philip, climb into the chariot. Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah. And he asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he answered, how can I without some help? I want to stop here. This man that Philip was talking to, this man was one of the most brilliant men of his day. This was no ordinary guy. He was the second in charge to the Candace queen in Ethiopia. He was in charge of all the finances, all the taxation and wealth systems in that country. So he was, he was not a dumb guy, was he? He was a brilliant guy. But listen, he still needed help. And today, there are people who seem brilliant, put together, have it all together, seemingly polished people, and they need help. They need help. They see, even the most smartest, the most beautiful, the most put together, most polished exterior people have no idea what to do with their life, with the teenagers that are going astray, with the marriages that are breaking down, with all the problems that they're facing today. See, they have everything they think they need in life, but still, inside, they are empty. And it's so true. Everybody, it doesn't matter who they are, they need Jesus, amen? And everybody needs a church, a home to belong to. Let's hear some amens. Amen, amen. The eunuch is reading from the scripture. And it says, and he invited Philip into the chariot with him. The passage he was reading was this: as the sheep led to the slaughter, and quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent, saying nothing. He was mocked and put down, never got a fair trial. But now who can count his kin, since he's been taken from this earth? The rest of the story goes like this. The Ethiopian guy says to Philip, so what's this all about? Is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And Philip said, talking about someone else, talking about Jesus. Philip tells him the whole thing about Jesus, preaches the gospel to them. The guy, as they're going along, the guy sees a pool of water. And he says, hey, there's a pool of water. How about if I get water baptized right now? So they go down to the water. Philip puts down into water. The guy rises up. Philip disappears. Where does the Philip appear? 19 miles away in a place called Azotus. The rest of the story is that that man would go back to his country and literally change the spiritual fabric of that country. That man would be responsible for many, many churches. That, you know, churches that their history can be literally traced back to the original roots of this man's faith. Isn't that credible? Just because Philip responded to the Holy Spirit, a nation of people got saved. So much of Africa was evangelized and got saved because of one prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Can you say with me, I'm a minister. I'm a minister. Am I a minister? No. I'm not the minister. Not today. Today I'm the pastor. I'm the equipper. I'm the coach. And I'm coaching you, encouraging you. I'm trying to equip you to be a minister. What is a minister? A minister is someone who represents God to people. Amen? And that's who you are. You represent God to people. You stand between being a holy man, a holy God and an unsaved person. And you're the minister. God is using you to minister. Amen? So whatever form, in word and spirit and deed, you are a minister. Say with me, I'm a minister. Online, say, I'm a minister. I am a minister. Point number five, last one. We must minister in Holy Spirit's power. Jesus said, Acts 1 verse 4, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you're a born-again believer, you already have the Holy Spirit inside. You have His presence. Say presence. You have His presence, but God wants to give you not just His presence, He wants to give you His power. He wants to give you His power. And what's this power for? It's for witnessing, it's for ministering, it's for mission. That's why He gives you this power. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you've got my power. Think about Philip. Philip did not go until after Pentecost, until after he was filled with Holy Spirit's power. Question, is it going to be any different for you and I? Is it going to be any different from you and I? No! No! You know what I say? I believe with Zig Ziglar, you know, we need to go beyond living a life of boringly looking after and focusing on ourselves and start living an exciting life with Holy Spirit, so that wherever we go, something exciting can be happening. Do you agree with me on that? Every single day. So I'm going to here's your challenge. Are you ready for this? Number one, let's you and I raise our personal awareness of Holy Spirit in our lives. And how we do that? Let's start doing this. Number two, start talking to Him. Talk to Him as you would your personal friend, as your comforter, your helper. Number three, and not just talk to Him. This is the big part. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. Just every time you go out into the public, say, Holy Spirit, I'm available. Use me. Use me. Be ready for one. And you know, I want to tell you, get ready for a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Just follow just one prompting. Maybe just to encourage someone, say a word, you know, or invite someone to church next Sunday. That's definitely the Holy Spirit, right? And then say this, then do this. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for being with you. Recognize Him. Thank Him. I say, especially during the tough, challenging times of your life. Because listen, He never leaves you. He's always with you. He's always trying to help you. He's always trying to minister to you, right? He's your helper. He's your grace. He's your comforter. He's your healer. He's everything, right? He reveals God to you. And then number five, ask God daily, every single day, fill me with power afresh. Fill me with power afresh. I told the girls here, we need to pray every single day. God, fill me a day. Not just once, but every single day, because, you know, we're containers. We are a container. Our soul contains the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit's power gets used up, right? It's like gasoline. You fill it up once, it doesn't last you the whole trip, right? You got to keep filling it up to keep going further. It's your energy. It's your power. And you need to be refilled every single day. Ask for a fresh infusion and filling of Holy Spirit to empower you more and more and more and more. Amen? We need more of Holy Spirit's power in our lives, don't we? But you've got to be open to Him. Amen. You know, if you're going to thank God, thank Him for Holy Spirit. Can we do that today? Let's thank God for Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Bow your heads. So today, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to ask God on our behalf to take us to a new level where our lives become more exciting, less about ourselves, more about other people, more aware that we are partners, that we are vessels of God. We're dynamic. We can be supernaturally infused with His God power, with His power. Amen? So I want to ask you to put up your hands, and I want to ask you to do this, because when you lift up your hands, what you're actually doing is saying, God, I want to be more available to be used by You. Do you want to do that? Do you want to be used by God? All right? Let's all stand this morning. Let's lift up our hands. And if you don't want to do it, you don't want to be used by God, you're satisfied with the way you are, shame on you. Shame on you. You are created to be dynamic. You're created to be used by God. You're created to be born again. You're created to be filled with God's presence and power to be like Jesus walking in this earth. Jesus didn't die and his ministry didn't finish. It just got a total reboot and relaunch through you and I. We are carriers of God's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you see these hands lifted up. Father, I pray for a fresh infusion of Your power and a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit's power. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill every single vessel here, Lord. We just get of every obstruction, every bit of unbelief, every bit of our own agenda, we put aside and we say, God, we're available for You to use us. And as we lift up our hands, we're also saying, God, send us. Send us. And Father God, open up those opportunities for us to be used by You. Help us to be open to those nudges and promptings of the Holy Spirit. Open up those opportunities for us. Help us to recognize them and help us to be used. And then do Your miracles through us. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Now, one more prayer I've got to pray. I always pray this prayer because it's so important. Maybe you're here today and you never personally invited God's Holy Spirit. Never invited Jesus into your heart. He comes and lives inside of you by Your Spirit. Good definition of Holy Spirit is Christ in the Christian. Christ in the Christian. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ, you can do that today. Or maybe you're someone, you dedicated your life a while ago, but you've just drifted away. You're far from God. And you want to rededicate your life. I tell you, God is so pleased if you say this prayer. So you need to receive Christ for the first time. You need to have your book written in heaven, in the book in heaven, God's book of salvation. Immediately when you give your life to Christ, your name is written in the book. And God begins to number your days, right? So if you're ready to receive Christ, eternal life, and not just life in heaven, a new start here on earth, a new start, new beginnings, changed life. You begin, you know, you change, life begins to change. Brand new life here and eternal life in heaven is the greatest gift you can never, never not want. Amen? Amen. If that's you, you say this prayer. Say this prayer after me. Father in heaven, I'm giving you my life. Please come into my heart. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for paying for all my sins. Today and onward, Jesus Christ will be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, can you go to the welcome lounge? And who's there at the welcome lounge? I can't. Was Jessica's there? And somebody else. I can't. It's kind of a little dark over there. So if you go there, you know, you'll kind of be in the dark a bit, but the light of God is strong in your life. Amen? So you can go over there. If you said that prayer, and you said that prayer online today, wow, what a great decision. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to a relationship with Christ. Welcome to a brand new family. If you said that prayer, press that hand at the little hand at the bottom of the screen. That'll let us know you said that prayer. Call us. Call us at the number on the screen, and we'll connect you with someone who will tell you, wow, how to begin this brand new life with God, with Jesus, in a fresh new relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen. What a great God we serve. No, can we say, can I say this again? God is so good. Isn't God good? God is so, so good. You know, I love that scripture in Proverbs. It says, no good thing does he withhold from those whom he loves. Does he love you? Man, does he love you? He loved you so much that he died for you, came down from heaven off his throne, took on the form of flesh, shed his blood for you because he loves you. And he loves people that we need to reach to as well. Amen? Amen. God is so good. God is so good all the time. He's good. So let's express some of that goodness back to him, that appreciation, but giving back to God. You know, the only thing God really asks of us, really basically when it calls to giving, is tithes and offerings. So I said giving is an act of worship. Giving is just something that you do. It's an act of worship. It reflects your heart and your passion for God. The way that you give reflects how you feel about your relationship with him and what he's done for you. So I say, if you're going to give extravagantly, right? Give extravagantly. Be a good giver. Jesus said, with the measure that you give is the measure that you receive. But listen, when you receive, he magnifies it. Maybe you give 10, but he gives you back 100, right? But maybe not just in finances, but in other areas of our life as well. Amen. So here's the ways that you can give. You all know those different ways. So easy to give. Let's be generous givers. Amen? Amen. We have a prayer ministry team here that are going to come up and pray for you. Right? You know, what we did just a few minutes ago is we all lifted up our hands and we asked for a fresh infilling, infusion of God's power. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit is given an even greater mention. It says the laying on of hands. Now, if you're a believer, you receive Christ, but you've never asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's called baptism of the Holy Spirit, infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you've never received that, it's time. And so God will give you power, and he also gives you something. And there's another gift connected to it. It's called the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues. And it's not a natural language. It's the language of the Spirit, but it's powerful. Speaking in tongues, literally, it says it edifies you, builds you up. And it's communication. Your spirit coming out of your mouth, connecting with God. The Bible actually, Paul calls it the language of angels. Angels could understand it. So when you're saying, you speak in tongues, you know what? Enemy can't understand that, but the angels can, and God heard it, and maybe that was speaking in tongues, I was asking God for help. Boom. he comes, right? Anyway, you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Come up and receive. You know, if you've never gotten that gift. Or maybe all you want is another fresh infusion of God's power in your life. Come and receive it. Come and receive. I say, don't leave this place without getting what you need to live this life that God has called you to live. It is impossible to fulfill your call and to live this life without God's empowerment. Jesus said, don't even attempt to do anything. Don't even leave Jerusalem until you receive power from on high.